Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 6, Faith and Acceptance. As your conscience has been quickened by the Holy Spirit, you have seen something of the evil of sin, of its power, its guilt, its woe, and you look upon it with abhorrence. You feel that sin has separated you from God, that you are in bondage to the power of evil. The more you struggle to escape, the more you realize your helplessness. Your motives are impure, your heart is unclean. You see that your life has been filled with selfishness and sin. You long to be forgiven, to be cleansed, to be set free. Harmony with God, likeness to Him. What can you do to obtain it? It is peace that you need, heaven's forgiveness and peace and love in the soul. Money cannot buy it, intellect cannot procure it, wisdom cannot attain to it. You can never hope by your own effort to secure it. But God offers it to you as a gift, without money and without price. It is yours if you will but reach out your hand and grasp it. The Lord says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. You have confessed your sins, and in heart put them away. You have resolved to give yourself to God. Now go to Him and ask that He will wash away your sins and give you a new heart. Then believe that He does this because He has promised. This is the lesson which Jesus taught while He was on earth, that the gift which God promises us, we must believe we do receive, and it is ours. Jesus had healed the people of their diseases when they had faith in His power. He helped them in the things which they could see, thus inspiring them with confidence in Him concerning things which they could not see, leading them to believe in His power to forgive sins. This He plainly stated in the healing of the man sick with palsy, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith He to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. So also John the Evangelist says, speaking of the miracles of Christ, These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. From the simple Bible account of how Jesus healed the sick, we may learn something about how to believe in Him for the forgiveness of sins. Let us turn to the story of the paralytic at Bethesda. The poor sufferer was helpless. He had not used his limbs for 38 years. Yet Jesus bade him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. The sick man might have said, Lord, if thou wilt make me whole, I will obey thy word. But no, he believed Christ's word, believed that he was made whole, and he made the effort at once. He willed to walk, and he did walk. He acted on the word of Christ, and God gave the power. He was made whole. In like manner, you are a sinner. You cannot atone for your past sins. You cannot change your heart and make yourself holy. But God promises to do all this for you through Christ. You believe the promise. You confess your sins and give yourself to God. You will to serve Him. Just as surely as you do this, God will fulfill His word to you. If you believe the promise, believe that you are forgiven and cleansed, God supplies the fact. You are made whole. Just as Christ gave the paralytic power to walk when the man believed that he was healed, it is so if you believe it. Do not wait to feel that you are made whole, but say, I believe it. It is so. Not because I feel it, but because God has promised. Jesus says, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. There is a condition to this promise, that we pray according to the will of God. But it is the will of God to cleanse us from sin, to make us his children, and enable us to live a holy life, so we may ask for these blessings and believe that we receive them and thank God that we have received them. It is our privilege to go to Jesus and be cleansed and to stand before the law without shame or remorse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Henceforth, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. You were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Through this simple act of believing God, the Holy Spirit has begotten a new life in your heart. You are as a child born into the family of God, and he loves you as he loves his son. Now that you have given yourself to Jesus, do not draw back. Do not take yourself away from him, but day by day say, I am Christ. I have given myself to him. Ask him to give you his Spirit and keep you by his grace. As it is by giving yourself to God and believing him that you become his child, so you are to live in him. The apostle says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Some seem to feel that they must be on probation and must prove to the Lord that they are reformed before they can claim his blessing. But they claim the blessing of God even now. They must have his grace, the Spirit of Christ, to help their infirmities, or they cannot resist evil. Jesus loves to have us come to him just as we are, sinful, helpless, dependent. We may come with all our weakness, our folly, our sinfulness, and fall at his feet in penitence. It is his glory to encircle us in the arms of his love and to bind up our wounds to cleanse us from all impurity. Here is where thousands fail. They do not believe that Jesus pardons them personally, individually. They do not take God at his word. It is the privilege of all who comply with the conditions to know for themselves that pardon is freely extended to every sin. Put away the suspicion that God's promises are not meant for you. They are for every repentant transgressor. Strength and grace have been provided through Christ to be brought by ministering angels to every believing soul. None are so sinful that they cannot find strength, purity, and righteousness in Jesus, who died for them. He is waiting to strip them of their garments stained and polluted with sin, and put on them the white robes of righteousness. He bids them live and not die. God does not deal with us as finite men deal with one another. His thoughts are thoughts of mercy, love, and tenderest compassion. He says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live. Satan is ready to steal away the blessed assurances of God. He desires to take every glimmer of hope and every ray of light from the soul, but you must not permit him to do this. Do not give ear to the tempter, but say, Jesus has died that I might live. He loves me and wills not that I should perish. I have a compassionate heavenly Father, and although I have abused his love, though the blessings he has given me have been squandered, I will arise and go to my Father and say, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. The parable tells you how the wanderer will be received. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. But even this parable, tender and touching as it is, comes short of expressing the infinite compassion of the Heavenly Father. The Lord declares by his prophet, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. While the sinner is yet far from the Father's house, wasting his substance in a strange country, the Father's heart is yearning over him, and every longing awakened in the soul to return to God is but the tender pleading of his spirit, wooing, entreating, drawing the wanderer to his Father's heart of love. With the rich promises of the Bible before you, can you give place to doubt? Can you believe that when the poor sinner longs to return, longs to forsake his sins, the Lord sternly withholds him from coming to his feet in repentance? Away with such thoughts. Nothing can hurt your own soul more than to entertain such a conception of our Heavenly Father. He hates sin, but he loves the sinner, and he gave himself in the person of Christ that all who would might be saved and have eternal blessedness in the kingdom of glory. What stronger or more tender language could have been employed than he has chosen in which to express his love toward us? He declares, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she may not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Look up, you that are doubting and trembling, for Jesus lives to make intercession for us. Thank God for the gift of his dear Son, and pray that he may not have died for you in vain. The Spirit invites you today. Come with your whole heart to Jesus, and you may claim his blessing. As you read the promises, remember they are the expression of unutterable love and pity. The great heart of infinite love is drawn toward the sinner with boundless compassion. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Yes, only believe that God is your helper. He wants to restore his moral image in man. As you draw near to him with confession and repentance, he will draw near to you with mercy and forgiveness.
Story of Jesus, I love thee. getting on the prayer line?
Yeah, I'm on the prayer line. Good evening, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Leola, and I'm calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. First of all, I want to thank the Lord for allowing us to get on the prayer line once again and thanking him for the blessing opportunity to host. So let us have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you once again, Father, to serve you, to honor your name by hosting and sisters and brothers sharing and bringing their offering to you by talking and speaking of the things that you have blessed them with this week and even the Sabbath. You have kept us throughout the week and given us a blessing day, Father. So we just want to thank you and we want to praise you for what you are continuing to do through our life. Now, Lord Father, as we are on the prayer line, we ask you to bless this prayer line. We ask you to allow your children to be on the prayer line and press 1 and share, because there are some others that may be on the prayer line to hear your word. And we are the witness for you, Lord. So as we speak of the goodness of God and his word, may the word of God convict the hearts of everyone that hear. So thank you once again, Father, and I'm asking you to bless the reading of your word, and we thanking you for this opportunity to pray. And we thanking you again in the name of your son, Yeshua, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, I want to read from Matthew, and this is Matthew chapter 24, and I'm reading verses 1 through 14. Okay, let us read. And it says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he set the mountain of Olives, as he sat upon the mountain of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For a nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquake in diverse places. And all these things are the beginning of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And number 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And brother and sister, I want to read 15 also. And it says, 15 say, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, stand in the holy place, read it, let him understand it. So, brothers and sisters, I chose this topic because truly we are living in these last days, and we're seeing many things come to play. And as the Bible says in the last verse, when we shall see the abomination and desolation, well, I look up these words. I have a really, I want to use the choice word. I have a habit of when I don't know what something means, I go and I look it up. So when I look up the abomination and desolation, the abomination, of course, the Bible says seven things he hates, and the seventh one is abomination. So abomination is a disgust to God, and the desolation is completely destruction, a completely destruction, and also a destroying. That's one, and it got one other word for abomination, waste. So all these things is sum up that is a destruction, a waste, or a complete destruction, waste. And I said one more. Sometimes my memory don't all come together, but I praise God that His word is being revealed to the Bible. The people that studying His word. So what I'm sharing with you tonight is that we have to study the word for ourselves and seek God for ourselves. And He said that He will teach us. He is our teacher. So I'm grateful to study and to get to know the Lord for myself and praise Him because He wants us to know Him. He wants us to have that relationship, so I'm grateful to that. So now I will open the line for my brothers and sisters that you can share on what we read or whatever you have to share. But also just to look at Matthew's chapter 24 in verse 1 through, we see all these things come to pass. Look at, we done had more tornadoes come to pass. We have so much that's going on in the world. If the word of God is being not preached in the church, we got so much going on, brothers and sisters, that we need to take time and study this Bible for ourselves because we see how things are going in this world. Amen. So we're going to open the line for our brothers and sisters, and you can press one and I open the line. Amen. Yes. If there's anyone that would like to share, amen. We're going to open the line for 518. Your line is open. Amen. 518, your line is open. You can give your name and where you're calling.
Good. Good.
Good night, my dear brothers and sisters. Good night, Sister Leola. Thank you for opening my line.
This is Sister Powell calling from upstate New York. That is good. He's so great. I'm so thankful that he had spared my life, that I see another beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day. We are actually in another day, another new day. And I just give God thanks for what he has done. Thank you for the reading, my dear sister, beloved sister. This is what the Lord is telling us, that, you know, we have to look up. If there is no other time we need to look up is now, because we have saw all the things. And Matthew 24 is telling us of the fulfillment and what is going to happen to his people, abomination, desolation, and persecution, and all these things. But the Lord wants us all to be faithful. And if we be faithful, we won't go to the disciples. Go to him privately and ask him, when will be your coming? Show us and tell us. You know, he will tell us because we will see and we will know. And as the word also say that he is in Massachusetts or in Louisiana, he said, no, we know that that is a fake news, right? Because the word of God told me that every eye shall behold him. So we all have to study for ourselves, my dear sister,
yes,
and study the word for ourselves that we can believe in his word and know what he meant, and also for sharing the truth out there. And you know what? This song is not judging, but doing, right? And this song was sung, you know, quite a few years ago. I don't know if I can sing it, but when you look on it, on this song, it moved my heart, right? I'm going to try to see if I can sing it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The believe, though many dangers toiled and snares I have already come, 'tis grace that safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good for us. His word, my hope secures. He will thy shield and portion be, as long as life endures. The hurt shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God do cause we here below will be forever. When we have been there 10,000 years, bright shine, shining as the sun, we have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Praise the Lord. Kind and loving, righteous Father, which art in heaven, We just want to thank you for these wonderful words of encouragement in this song, these promises. Father, it has been showing us these words that if we be faithful to you, we will live for eternity with you. The days will be bright and sunny. The night will be sunny. There will be no rain. There will be no sickness. There will be no death. There will be no sorrow. There will be no pain. There will be no COVID-19. There will be no rent to pay. Lord, have your own sweet way in each and every one of our life, Lord Jesus. The life that you have kept, Lord, during the long season, Lord Jesus, that have passed, Lord Jesus, and come to, are to reach to another new page, Lord, in your book, Lord. We are asking you, Father, as those pages just turn over, allow it to be as white as snow. Wash us, Lord. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness so that we will experience, Lord, that cleanness, that whiteness, that pureness, Lord, that righteousness by Christ covered under your blood, Lord. Each one of us, dear Lord, here. And help us to realize, dear, we will be living with you for eternity if we are faithful. So, Lord, we place this group to you, dear Lord. Where we are coming from, it wasn't us. We could not do anything on our own, dear Lord. You have kept us, Lord Jesus, all through the crisis and situation that is going, the disease, the plague, the hatred, the things that is happening around us, the sin, Lord, human being. And Lord, we even see that animal, Lord Jesus, is loved more than even the creator human who you have created, Lord. But dear Lord, we want to thank you for who you are, the King of Kings, not coming as the disciples go to you private, to you boldly to the throne, Lord, to put our petition to you and to give you praises and to bring honor and glory to your wonderful name for all the things that you have done for us, Lord, and you have helped us so much, dear Lord, and your words of encouragement to each other and the many, many, many requests that was offered to you during all the days, through the minute, the hour, and your days, Lord Jesus. And we just want to give you thanks for what you have done. We could not do it alone. So this evening, Lord, as we come, as we fellowship with you, as we give you praises and bring honor, each one of us, Lord, are here to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, because without you, I wouldn't know where I would be. Without your words of encouragement, without the faith that you have given unto us, not to be unbelieved, but to believe you have told, as the Hebrews said, this is what you have given unto us for us to believe. You have shown us the way, the pathway from Egypt to the wilderness, and also crossing the Red Sea, and all these things, Lord, you have shown us, so we could not doubt that there is a God. We believe that you are here. We believe that you promised that you will be with us. We believe that you said to us you will not cause any of those pestilence that is flying around to be upon your people. And if it even fall upon your people, you believe us that you told us in your word you can heal all our diseases. You said to us, dear Lord, we have to be faithful. So this evening, for my brothers and my sister on the line, even the babies, everyone, you know the name, you know the list. We present them to you and allow us to be faithful, no doubtful or unbeliever. Because, Lord, we have saw what unbelief do to your prophet, your servant, Moses. Moses was one of your faithful servants. and he was unbelief when you told him to go and give the children of Israel the water. And because of the way in which the children was behaving, mocking and jeering Moses gets just unbelief and did what you did not say he was to do. You told him to speak to the rock, and he went and he struck the rock. And because of that and calling your people rebels, he was not able to see the promised land and reach the promised land in his lifetime. But Lord, we thank you for the love and the grace and the mercy that you allow him, dear Lord, to reach the promised land. Because when he died at an old age, he was buried, and no one knew where he was buried. No one can find the tomb. So, Lord, we know you raised him up, and he is there with you. So we want to thank you, Lord, for what you have done, and show us that if we be faithful, whether we are alive or we are asleep, we will be able to be with you. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. God bless.
God bless. Amen, Sister Powell. Thank you, Sister Powell, for coming and sharing. And amazing grace, Sister Powell. I would like to read from Spirit of Prophecy, and I will open my next line for the next caller. I would like to read just this little bit, the amazing grace. This. It said, as used in the Bible, the expression kingdom of God is employed to designate both kingdom of grace and the kingdom of glory. The kingdom of grace is brought to view by Paul and to the Hebrews, appointing Christ, the compassionate intercessor who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Speak and with the infirmities, the apostle says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of God, that we may obtain mercy and find grace. Hebrews 4:15-16. The throne of grace represent the kingdom of grace. The existence of the throne, I'm getting my hair done in these glasses, not too good. Okay, I can see. The existence of a great throne implies the existence of a kingdom. In many of his parables, Christ used the expression, the kingdom of heaven, to designate the work of the divine grace upon the heart of men. So the throne of glory represents the kingdom of glory, and the kingdom is referred to in the Savior's word, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. Matthew 25:31-32. This kingdom is yet future. It is not to be set up until the second advent of Christ. The kingdom of grace was instituted immediately after the fall of man, when the plan devised for the redemption of the guilty race, and then existed the purpose and by the promise of God, and through faith men could become its subjects. Yet it was not actually established until the death of Christ. Even after entering his earthly mission, the Savior wearied with the stubbornness and ingratitude of men, might have drawn back from the sacrifice of Calvary and Gethsemane the cup of woe trembled in his hand. He might even then have wiped the blood of sweat from his brow and have left the guilty race to perish in their iniquity. Had he done this, there could have been no redemption for fallen men. But when the Savior yielded up his life with his expiring breath, cried out, it is finished. Then the fulfillment of the plan of redemption was assured. The promise of salvation made to the sinful pair in Eden was ratified. The kingdom of grace, which had before existed by promise of God, was then established. So I just wanted to read that as Sister Power saying the amazing grace. Let me tell you something. We praise God for setting up the Father, for setting the Father and the Son, set up a plan for redemption. And that was the saving grace that he instituted before the fall of man. So I just want to thank God for the song, Sister Power, Amazing Grace. We all have grace right now, so I thank God for it. So, brothers and sisters, I want to thank you again, Sister Power, for coming on and sharing. And now we're going to open the line for the next caller. Amen. 423, your line is open. Give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. This is Sister Carla from Tennessee. I always want to say Virginia. Tennessee, I'm just thanking the Lord for another day. I'm thanking the Lord for his many, many blessings, his mercy, his love towards each and every one of us. I'll share something from Spirit of Prophecy, Acts of the Apostle, I believe this is chapter 5. It says, those who at Pentecost were endued with power from on high were not thereby free from further temptation and trials. As they witnessed to truth and righteousness, they were repeatedly assailed by the enemy of all truth, who sought to rob them of their Christian experience. They were compelled to strive with all their God-given power to reach the measure of the stature of man and woman in Christ Jesus. Daily, they prayed for fresh supplies of grace that they might reach higher and still higher towards perfection under the Holy Spirit's working, even the weakest, by exercising faith in God, learn to improve their entrusted power and to become sanctified, refined, and ennobled, as in humility. They submitted to the molding influence of the Holy Spirit. They received of the fullness of the Godhead and were fashioned in the likeness of the divine. So I just want to encourage each and every one, we have to reach higher and higher for the righteousness, for faithfulness, you know, of God, for perfection, so that we can be fashioned and we can be molded into Christ's likeness. And it's obtainable. We have to encourage each other. We know that iron sharpeneth iron. So as we come on the line, may we continue to encourage each other and sharpen at each other and point each other to Christ Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. So I just thank the Lord for safe journey back to Tennessee. I left the Richardson this afternoon and I made it home. Well, actually to work. I'm about to pull into work and I just thanking the Lord for his mercy, his love. And I'll attempt to sing this song before. Title is I Surrender All. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. I'll sing one more verse. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasure all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Amen. And that is my prayer, to surrender all to Jesus. Lay everything at his feet, everything at the cross, and just surrender to him and be submissive to his will. As, you know, their children submissive to their parents who taking care of them and know their needs. I want to surrender all and submit all to the will of God so that I can rightly learn, that I can rightly have spirit of discernment to know the truth in the Jesus, which is our righteousness. And I thank you again. God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Colin. Yes, yes, it's so good to surrender all to Christ. And because I tell you, it's nothing more. We want to cling to self. We want to surrender it all to him. So I just want to thank you for the reading and thank you for coming on, singing your song to the Lord. And the Lord said he hears the song and hears because he's listening to the heart. So I just want to thank you for coming on and sharing. May God give you safe traveling mercy. I think you say you're going to be on your way to work. So may God be with you. And sisters and brothers, we're going to go to the next caller. And we just thank our sisters and brothers for being patient. Give me just a second. Thank God for my daughter. She's, while I'm hosting, she's twisting my hair. So I'm trying to, okay, we're going to open the next line. Hold on just a second. Okay, praise the Lord, I can do this here. I see the problem. Amen. Thank you, Sister Caller, once again. Okay, we're going to go to the next caller. It's 985-232. We're opening your line. Can you give us your name and where you're calling from?
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for his grace and mercy that brought us through 2022. Just want to thank him for being so lovable to us that we made it. I would like to read a prayer. Dear God, I just want to use this moment to give you praises for whom you are. You are a great God, a good father, a merciful ruler. Thank you for always looking out for me. Truly grateful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. It's like I said, thank the Lord for everything, just for being there for us. That's just the only person we have. Without God, we wouldn't be nothing. We wouldn't be able to talk to no one. No one would be able to hear our cry. We wouldn't be able to just reach out and talk to someone to just hear us and answer our prayers and just deliver us. And you know, God's been so good because my daughter had the O'Connor virus and she then came through and she's doing well now. And Brother John, he been had the COVID-19. We've been staying in the motel. And like maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago, the doctor said he'd been having COVID-19. But Brother John walks every day and he didn't know he was sick. He thought he had just a cold. So yesterday he decided, I told him he didn't look good. So he went and got checked out by the doctor, and the doctor told him he had COVID-19. I said, well, I got two types of COVID in this house, and I just went there looking at myself, feeling myself to see if I was normal. I said, I'm walking in here, and am I really normal? Well, I could just thank the Lord and praise the Lord daily, one day at a time for me. And I said, well, now I got two patients. I said, Lord, thank you for me. I'm still standing, and I'm taking care of two patients and two children. I said, what a blessing. What a merciful God, sir.
Amen.
I said, Lord, I just threw out saying, and then one was really sick. My daughter, she was just bad up till I made that drink, the prayer line presented. She bounced back. I gave Brother John it earlier. He was sick of the stomach. He was throwing up. I gave him the tea. He stopped throwing up. He said he feel good now. They gave him a medicine in the drugstore. I went and brought it. And she asked him, I said, what is it for? They got some Sudafed in it. It's a cough syrup. I said, oh, no, sir. He don't want it. I made something better than that. He feels good. He don't need that. So the drink, I said, the drink I made, babe, you feel better already. So praise the Lord for Brother Yudi and the prayer, all on the prayer line for the drink we have. I say, since you feel so good, you're going to drink that through the night and be feeling like your daughter. I said, we're going to praise the Lord. And have some for me. I made a big pot. I said, and if I need it, we're going to pass it on. I said, God is good. And we just thank God for the prayer line and the Lord giving them wisdom and knowledge so we can make it through. So I thank God for that medicine, and we don't need to buy any. So God is good. So thank y'all, and God is good, and we all can help one another. Amen. And I just ask for praying for the family and that Ben Light family and a few others that are sick. And just ask for prayers for them that they get their strength, move on, and just keep the sick and the homeless and all the other people in the nursing home and everywhere in prayer. And all our brothers and sisters that's missing off the land and come back. And we just hope for a prosper of 2022 on the prayer line. Amen.
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 Amen. I'm hearing Sister Brenda testify of God's herb. And what you usually say, Sister Powell, John chapter 3 and verses 2, I wish above all things that thy soul shall prosper and be in good health. So Sister Brenda is following that message and that help, and I tell you, God is showing her, he's showing her what he can do, and she rejects to get that pharmaceutical medicine, and she working it out for her family to take the natural things. And she's giving God the praise and what he's doing. Because, sisters and brothers, when we see how we feel, how we come through and not going paying, you know that medicine costs a lot of money. And when you can just get the natural things in your home and fix it, and then you make abundance. And look how she stretched it. She stretched it to the point that where her daughter took it, her husband taking it now, and they both feeling better. So it's my cousin, he's a supervisor in on the ambulance. And he came and talked with us, and he told us how this Enron or whatever this second COVID it's worse than the rest. And he's saying how we done had almost some 14,000 cases done over a day. And he's saying just what we are saying on the prayer line, take your herbs, take your fresh air, do all the things that you can do. And by God's grace, he takes care of the rest. So I just want to thank God for hearing Sister Brenda giving God's praise on the prayer line. And we want to thank Sister Carlos because she always giving some help tips and all the other brothers and sisters. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Brenda, because God said you got to come and give him praise because he's the one that healeth all disease, as my sister just read to us or just quoted the scripture. So we praise God for that. Amen. So, and I want to thank God for my daughter. My daughter is, I'm not at the beautician, Sister Power. I'm at Sister LaCole's beautician. Sister LaCole is fixing my hair while I'm hosting on the prayer line. So I'm giving God thanks for my daughter fixing my hair, which this job she's doing, the girl can charge me $60. And I don't even have to go sit in a beautician that COVID is, I mean, this Omicron or whatever this thing called, is spreading again. And I don't want to be in that place. And my cousin said, brothers and sisters, he said, the paramedic, he said that that the cold, like say for instance, you're outside and the vapor or that little cloudy thing, when you breathe out of your mouth, you are breathing out that carbon dioxide. And he said that stuff stays right there, and it stays right there in the air. And as a person walk into that sinus cavity is waiting to take that in. And he said that stuff go there and it sit in the cavity of your sinus. And I said, oh my. He said, make sure you get an N95 face mask. He said the N95 face mask will help you 95%. They also have an N100. He said that helps you 100%. Now, I just want to share with you the little face mask, the little blue one. He said, and that's what I've been wearing. He said, don't you know that thing don't help you? It helps save other people. So when you cough, sneeze, or anything you do, or you open your mouth, say like when it's cold outside and you blowing in and out all that fog come out your mouth because and he say anytime a person sneeze, and we know some of these things on the prayer line already anyway, but anytime a person sneeze, how far and how it spread. But that fog, I never thought about the when it's cold. That's why they say during the coldest month, this unrind is going to pick up, it's going to get worse. But, and you know what I said to him? I said, well, this is the time for me to stay out of the store, not go in much, as much. Stay away from that because people are breathing all day long talking, and they are letting out this. We don't know who, you don't know who have it. So to stay from around lots of people, therefore you will not pick it up. So when I got that information, I say, praise God. But if you have to go out, make sure you have an N95 face mask or N100, and that will protect you. He said it protects you 100%. So by God's grace, he left me a couple to here. So I got to go out tomorrow to the dentist, and I will have mine with me. So by God's grace, God keep us and protect us from all these things. But we don't fear. But we got to be safe. So thank you very much. But we're going to go. Brother Akeem will be on tonight. He's not on right now. So we're going to go into prayer. We're going to go into prayer. So by time he do come on, and we can pray for one another. And my request for prayer to lift up my son Jarvis. I have not seen him. I have not gone out this week and last week. I have not seen him. So I'm asking that you all lift my son Jarvis up in prayer tonight. My granddaughter Amari and Shala and Jarvis, LaCole, Ray, myself, my sister Brenda, she had asked for prayer, and her children, especially her grandbabies. The children, sisters and brothers, this online is killing children. So we're going to lift the children up tonight in prayer, all of our grandchildren and children. We're going to lift them up in prayer because we want, we ask him, the Lord, to pour out his blessing and his spirit upon these children to protect them from any sickness like this, because he said, once this virus, he said to me, once you get this virus, he said, you're never the same. By God's grace, I don't know because I never had it, but by God's grace, I don't want to get this thing. He said, because he have come in contact with some patients, he said, before he can even get to a patient, he can see people come into the emergency room, the hospital, and he said, you can hear you can hear in them, and you already know they got COVID from a distance. You can hear them, how they breathing and how they are acting, because that COVID caused them to have so much pain in their lungs. So please let us pray right now and lift up the babies, the elderly people in prayer. We're lifting up everyone, but my focus always been for those babies and the elders, because most of the time us other folks can pray and take care of ourselves, but we give more prayers for the elder and the baby and the children. So if we don't mind to start some prayers for the children, amen? And we just got a few on. So if Sister Brenda, I don't know if Sister Carla can offer a prayer, and I'm going to ask Sister Powell and myself, we can pray for Brother Udi, children and his family, Brother Rick and his daughters and their family. We have so many, Brother O'Neill, Sister Carla, her children. We got so many, Sister Power, all her host of grandchildren. We have, so many. I can't begin. Sister Power can name the names better than I can. So let us pray. Let us begin with prayer. And Sister Brenda, we're going to open your line. Just if you can just give what you have in your heart to offer a prayer for the people on the prayer line, or just a prayer for, matter of fact, let me just give you a group to pray for, if you don't mind. You can pray for Brother Eli. You can pray for Brother Rick. You can just pray for some people. Amen. I'm going to open your line. If you can pray, just let us know. And then I'm going to ask Sister Carla if she could. Give me just a second. Sister Brenda, your line is already open. Sister Brenda, your line is already open. Would you mind offering a prayer?
Yes.
Amen. Well, you can go ahead.
Okay. Father God, we come to you at this hour, thanking you for what you have done for us and what you're going to be doing for us. We thank you for watching over us last night and waking us up. We thank you for everything, Lord. Thank you for blessing us, providing us food to eat, Lord. We thank you for watching over the sick, the ones that have COVID, the ones that have colds, and the ones that the ones that are well, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you for many blessings. We ask that you bless, go search the hospitals, Lord, and watch over all the ones that are sick. Lord, strengthen them, Lord. We ask you to bless them. Lord, we ask you to go to the nursing home and watch over all those that are sick. Lord, bless all those that are under the bridge. Bless all those that are somewhere where you know where they're at, Lord. You know everything about them, Lord. We ask that you bless Brother Eli, Lord. Bless him in a way that you know how. Bless his family, his mother, all his friends, all his family, and bless him to the Lord so he can get the anointing that you want him to get, Lord, so that he can stop worrying about his friends and they may receive your Holy Spirit so they can come to you and start praising the Lord, and Brother Eli would be happy and lifted up. He would be smiling and singing glory to you. He would be so surprised when Lord bless his family and his friends so they may come to you. Lord bless the brothers and sisters that Sister Leola named, Brother Rick, Brother, all the brothers and sisters on the prayer line that are missing. Lord, bless those that are coming on. Father God, we ask you to strengthen them wherever they're at. We ask that you bless them and touch them. We ask you to just give them the strength to come on this prayer line and let them know that you, God, and you, your anointed spirit would bring them to know that you are the only way that they can get the blessings, and you're the only way that they can inherit the earth. They can go to heaven. They, in this world today, Lord, tell them that only way you can make it to heaven is through you, Lord, because it's dangerous out here. It's just too much going on. And Lord, just tell them that the wages of sin is death. The gift of life is the gift of God, is eternal life. Lord, we just want to thank you for your grace and your mercy. You have been so good to us, better than we've been to ourselves. And we just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Thank you for blessing us, anointing. Thank you for touching us, Lord. We just want to thank you. Thank you for your love that runs deeper than the ocean. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Sister Brenda, you're prayed, my sister. Oh, we give God thanks and blessing for Sister Brenda prayer. Thank you, Father. And now Brother Eli, Sister Power, is on here to join us, so we will open his line. So let us open Brother Eli line. So brothers and Sister Brenda offered the prayer for all and from her heart, and she asked the Lord to bless Brother Eli, and Brother Eli was joining in. So Brother Eli, we're going to open your line. Amen. 857, your line is open.
Hello, Sister Brenda. Hello, Sister Power. Hello, Sister Miola. My name is Brother Eli. Sister Miola, I would like to thank Sister Brenda for praying for me. Sister Brenda, thank you, my dear sister. May God continue to bless you, my dear Sister Brenda. Tell Brother John I say hello. Tell Brother John to keep the faith in the Lord because God is good. God is worthy to be praised. I like to thank God for his love, for his mercy, Sister Miola and Sister Power. God is good. Sister Power is 2022. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Sister Power, 2022. Hallelujah, Sister Miola, 2022. I want to say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. I have a prayer request, Sister Miola and Sister Power. My prayer request tonight is to lift up my mom in prayer. My mom needs a lot of prayer, so lift up my mom in prayer. And please lift up our dear brother Jahari too in prayer because he needs a Bible study, Sister Miola and Sister Power. Brother Jahari needs a Bible study. study is. Sister Stephanie will send it for him, Sister Miola, but he needs a Bible and he needs a step to Christ too. And please lift up our dear brother, Brother Taiwan. Lift up Brother Taiwan in prayer, Sister Miola. Pray for Brother Tony. Lift up Brother Tony in prayer. Pray for Brother Taiwan. Pray for Sister Katie Ann. Pray for Sister Tamiko. Lift up Sister Tamiko in prayer. And Sister Powell, please lift up Sister Shamika in prayer too. Pray for Sister Shamika. Pray for all of them. And Brother Sister Brenda, Sister Miola and Sister Powell, I want Brother Akeem James to come to my house one of these days and do a prayer for me because I need more prayer. I need a lot of prayer. So Sister Miola and Sister Powell, I don't know, can you tell Brother Akeem James to come to my house one of these days because I want him to come to my house and boss. And may God continue to bless Brother Akeem James with his ministry. May God continue to guide him because God is good, Sister Brenda. God is good, Sister Miola. Sister Miola, after Brother Akeem finished preaching the word, Sister Miola, tell him that I want him to come to my house one of these days. Sister Miola, Sister Powell, God is good. God is worthy to be praised. Brother Akeem, may God continue to bless you, Brother Akeem, with your ministry. God will deliver you, Brother Akeem James. God will give you deliverance. God will give you peace. God will give you hope, Brother Akeem James. God will give you the faith because he is good, Brother Akeem James. Give him the praise, Brother Akeem James. Give him the praise, honor. Give him praise, Brother Akeem James, because he is good. He's worthy. He is worthy to be praised, just like Sister Powell said, Brother Akeem James. He is worthy, worthy, worthy. Worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, hallelujah. May God bless you all on the prayer line. May God bless you, Sister Tamiko, and everyone. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Eli, for that praise and you know, giving Sister Brenda thanks. So we're going to go into another prayer, and we're going to ask Sister Carla if she can give a short prayer. And Brother Brother Akeem would be on in another about 5 minutes or so. Sister Carla, if you're able, you can hear us. Sister Carla, you can hear? Okay, brothers and sisters, let us not, because I don't know if she can. I don't know if she's able to hear us. But, okay, brothers and sisters, Sister Carla. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to let Sister Powell give the last prayer because Brother Akeem is coming on. And I want to lift up as Brother Akeem, Eli asked, pray for Sister Tamika and all his other people that he asked. So let us offer that prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom to come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heavenly Father, as we come to the throne of grace once again, Lord, as all these prayers are offered before you, Father, we are asking, Father, to hear, Lord Father, our cry. And we asking you, Father, to look in our heart, Father, if there be any sin, if there's anything in us, Father, we asking for forgiveness of our Lord, that our prayers be not hindered. So, Heavenly Father, as we lift up the names in prayer, Father, we asking that you touch these hearts, Father. We lift up Sister Tamika, her children, Father, especially her grandchildren, Father. We asking that you cover those faces, Father, with your blood. And we asking also, Father, that the grandmother and grandparents continue to give them the herbs, Father, to build their immune up, Father. Give them some little vitamin C. Take care of them grandbabies. Take care of these children, Father. And, Father, we pray, Father, for Sister Tamika herself, Father. We lifting her up to you, Father, your daughter. She loved you, and she always on the prayer line praying for others. And, Father, we lift her up to you at this time. We asking you, Father, to continue to lead and guide her, keep her, protect you, with, give her the strength she needs. And, Father, if there's any pain or sickness, Father, we ask that you heal it and just give her that understanding, all these things, all these herbs you are giving her to use, Father. She knows that is your word, what you have given to all of us, that if we use the herbs and the trees for the healing of the land, Lord Father, you said if we do this, you got the rest. You take care of the rest of everything. So if we have faith in you, taking these things, doing the things according to your will, you said, I will do the rest for my children. So Heavenly Father, as we lift up Tamika's children to you, Father, we ask her husband also, we asking you, Father, to touch their heart and give them a heart of flesh, Lord, that they may turn to you with love and repentance, Lord, and that they would offer a prayer and that you can forgive their sins. And Father, we also submit the power, Father, the mother, Lord Father, we lifting up our sister to you, Father, that you continually to strengthen her and to giving her good health, and Father, and leading her, and especially in her work she's doing in Jamaica. I'm asking you to bless that work. I'm asking you to lead her in that work and keep that work going, Father, according to your will. Those people, they need her so bad. They need her, Lord, because some of the children, Father, don't even have much food to eat. The houses and things that, you know, the enemy make it so hard for people, Father. So, Father, but you say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And when we put our trust in you, God said, he is our refuge. He is our shelter in a time of storm. So, Heavenly Father, please cover these people with the blood, that same grace that you gave to the children of Israel, Father. We thank you. Thank you, Father, for that blessing hope that you have given to your people. Oh, Father, thank you right now. We ask you that you continue to bless Sophia, your Father, and her work and her husband, Lord, blessing them, keeping them, Father, and helping them to keep and seek your will. Father, I'm asking that you continue to touch their heart, and Father, and lead them to every way that you want them to go, Father. So thank you. I ask you to bless Sister Stephanie and her job, her teaching, her students, Father. I'm asking that you continue to watch over your daughter at the school, Father. We got this wickedness that's going on in schools and jobs, and people just seem to want to go up in jobs and shoot up people. But, Father, we know that's the enemy. So, Father, we're asking you to send your Holy Ghost, and that he's going to protect and he's going to cover your people with the righteousness of your right, with your righteousness. So, Father, thank you. And, Father, we also pray that blessing upon Sister Power's grandchildren, Lord, and that you watch over these babies and protect these babies from that online or whatever this virus called. So, Father, we thank you right now for protecting and keeping all our children, even our children in Jamaica, Lord, Father. You know where your who is yours. So, Father, be with them, Lord, and keep them, Father. We don't want to see the mother in a breakdown and a heart cry over her children. So thank you so much for working it out for us, Father. And I know, Lord, it's nothing but you that's working it out for us as mothers. Lord, Father, you see my son that's out on the street in that cold. Now, Father, I haven't talked to him. But, Lord, I lift him up to you, Father, because I know my son, I try to get him to get some attention and to bring him in place, Father, and he's not ready. But, Father, you, Lord, you have taken care of my son for 34 years, and
Lord, and I know you're going to continue. And, Lord, when that time is ready, he will come to you. Lord, Father, when that time, or, Lord, or your will to be done, Lord, I'm not putting him in no place here, no place there, and not even myself, because none of us know where we're going, because the Bible says that in chapter 24, he that endure until the end, the same will be saved. So, Father, we got to endure this race. This race, we got to run until the end. So we thank you. So now, Lord, I'm praying to bless Brother Akeem as I close and I'll let Sister Powell take over. So thank you once again, Father, in the name. And, Lord, if I have forgotten anybody, Brother Yudi and those babies, Father, all your children, Sister Carla, Father, and her children, Sister Carla with the other sister that moved on the property. Lord, we praying for each and every one. So we asking Brother O'Neill, Lord, all of our brothers, Sister Brother Richardson and Sister Richardson, Lord, the names I didn't call, Father, Brother Rick and his daughter, his children, his wife, all these your children, Father. So keep them, bless them, and lead them, Father, to all your righteousness. Amen. And in the name of our Savior Christ, amen. So Sister Powell,
Amen. Let's pray. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. In thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it makes us great and give strength unto all. 1 Chronicles 29:11-12. Heavenly Father, you are great. Father, you are worthy to be praised. You are our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When we hear and listen to all these various requests pointed and presented to you in the most holy sanctuary in heaven, doing a mighty work up there, Lord, with that book of life open, Heavenly Father, please, each name that requests to you, that presented to you, we are asking you, Lord, to hear everyone according to your will. Answer them according to your will. Be done. We want to thank you because you said to us, if we on earth could give our children, sinful we, good gift, what about our loving Father which art in heaven? Who give his life, sacrifice his life for us. So this evening we come boldly to the throne, asking you, Lord, to allow the Holy Spirit to reign within us, our hearts, that we will accept that fresh bread from heaven that will pour out through your manservant, Brother Akeem James, that it will present, that message will come into our hearts, settle in our hearts, and that our life will be changed, and that, Father, from them whence come it, Lord, in which we know you gave us the health, you gave us the strength, you gave us the power, you gave us the will, and also the Holy Spirit, so that we can go to do your work. Thank you, Lord, for hearing. Bless each one of us, we pray. Fill us again with your sweet Holy Spirit. In Jesus' loving name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Sister Powell, thank you so much because I dropped the call and the Lord blessed it where you was there to back it up and pick it up for me. So, but Sister Tamika just had joined us. And Sister Tamika, I'd like to open your line so you can give us a short song before Brother Akeem come on, if you don't mind. If you're on, Sister Tamika, press 1 if you'd like me to open your line. Sister Tamika, okay, amen, amen. She pressed, amen, 272, your line is open.
Thank you so much. Amen, praise God. Thank you so much, Sister Leola, for opening my line. God bless you all. I hope you all have a blessed and prosperous new year. And, yes, I would love to sing a song, if I may. Song number 1, Praise to the Lord. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul. angel and salvation. Oh, even now to his temple draw near, join ye in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who all things so wondrously reigneth. Shielded be under his wings, so gently sustained. How thou not how thou desirest has been granted and what he ordained. Praise to the Lord who does prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely his goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Under if with his love we be friends.
Thank you. God bless you all, brothers and sisters. Have a blessed and beautiful evening. Love you all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the song. And now, brothers and sisters, we want to thank our sister, Tamiko, for the song. Amen. And now we will open the line for Brother Akeem. And Brother Akeem, if you need to take a little bit more time, because I was going into prayer and we was just praying for the children and the elders. So we will open your line. And if, excuse me, 301, your line is open. Amen. 301, your
okay.
line is open.
All right. Amen.
And you have
Amen.
Some, you can take, if you need a little bit more time, Brother Akeem, don't rush it, but, you know, go ahead and speak the word of God. Amen?
Okay. All right. Amen. Okay, well, this evening we'll be starting a new part of our series, and we've been covering, thank you for that, and the prayers and also the music that was done. This evening, we've been going over for the past few Sundays the truth concerning the final things that would be done on the earth by the enemy working upon Protestantism in the United States, the papal system, working in connection with the papal system, or giving power back to the papal system, and then the confederation that will take place not just with this civil power, but with the papacy, and not just the United States, but the civil powers of the world afterward, and then also later on the rich men of the world, the merchants of the earth, as the Bible calls them. And so we saw that this final confederation will happen at the end of time, and when it happens, that confederation, according to Daniel chapter 11, it will happen and it will go against the people of God. For the papacy, the king of the north, united with apostate Protestantism and also the kings of the earth, along with the merchants of the earth, will set church-state systems, its church-state system and authority between the seas, that's the peoples, multitudes, nations of the world, and the glorious holy mountain. That means the papacy will seek, the king of the north will seek to get between the people of God and also the message that they want to give to the people, that is the seas, the people of the world. And so it is at that time when that happens and the papacy has control over the earth as it did over Western Europe in the time of the Reformation, when that happens again, that confederacy will cause the world, because the kings of the earth ruling over the world and administering the principles of the papacy who it's in connection with and committing fornication with, it will lead the masses into deeper and deeper deception. And so once that happens, once that deep deception happens, if people do not turn to the word of God, they would end up not only receiving the mark of the papal system, But that mark is basically a seal. But it is not a seal into righteousness. It is a seal into apostasy. This is what the mark of the beast is. While the seal of God is expressed in the outward life externally in the obedience to the Sabbath represents an inner experience of being sealed or settled into the truth. On the other hand, the mark of the beast, while outwardly or externally being kept in obedience to Sunday, is the sign of it is an outward sign of an inward experience of being sealed, but this time not in the truth, but in apostasy. And so the world will make its decision. Those who join the glorious holy mountain and become a part of it, they will be sealed into righteousness, deciding their destinies forever, allowing the Spirit of God to settle them into the truth. And then you will have on the other side the world that chooses not to receive the message, but instead what they do is that they receive an apostate message which seals them into unrighteousness. And so they decide their eternal destinies. Now, once that happens, and then the whole world turns against us, the papacy sets the whole world against us, united with the kings of the earth and apostate Protestantism in America, along with spiritualism, it is at that time that we read in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1 that Michael will stand up. Because now all cases have been decided, and now they are about to pounce upon the people of God. And so as that happens, Christ intervenes. He stands up. And standing up many times in Daniel chapter 11 specifically, it is a sign that he is getting ready to judge. Now, of course, he's done a judgment beforehand. We are living in the time of that judgment, the investigative judgment. But at that time when he rises up, it is to judge in another way. It is to judge in the sense of pouring out the seven last plagues. Now the great time of trouble is about to begin. Hence it says in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, and at that time Michael shall stand up, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was. So the time of trouble, the great time of trouble, I should say, begins with the standing up of Michael. And not only does the time of trouble begin, but the plagues are now to fall. They're about to fall upon those who have received the beast, its image, and its mark. So I want to read a few statements to you all concerning that, and then we'll enter into a new section, because now we're going to go back and we're going to see what brings about all of these things. And we're going to go back to Revelation chapter 6 and 7 for the next few weeks. But before we go there, I want to read a few statements concerning the little time of trouble and the distinction between the little time of trouble before Michael stands up and then the great time of trouble when he does. All right? So it says here in, you could find this in Last Day Events, page 143. It says, let me read it here. And this is going to connect to our new study that we're going to go into. A study on a deeper understanding of the seal of God and also history, our history as a movement, which many have forgotten. And as a result, friends, people are not understanding our history can really lead people astray. And I'm realizing that more and more with each day that goes by, with each Sabbath that goes by, as I connect with more and more Adventists and even people who are fallen away from the Adventist Church, realizing these things. So it says here in Last Day Events, page 143, paragraph 1, at the commencement of the time of trouble, we were filled. So this is the little time of trouble. Michael has not stood up yet. And remember, the reason that the papacy, the king of the north, will set his the tabernacles of his palaces, that means his church-state system, between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, meaning between the in the path or interrupting the influence that God's people can have upon the masses of the earth, is because in verse 44, the loud cry begins to go out, the tidings from the east and the north, meaning the message of God, the final message to the world. And so the papacy knows that if it doesn't do something, many more would be won away from the papal system and its agenda to God. So they step in the way. So it's as a result of the message of the loud cry that the enemy moves upon the papacy and those that have confederated with the papal system to get in the way of the spreading of the message, ultimately resulting in people deciding their faith. But it's the message that leads to that. It is the message that is the catalyst, the impetus that leads to the world making this decision. It polarizes the world. Now, concerning that message, we read, concerning the little time of trouble, when there's still time to give the gospel, it says, at the commencement of the time of trouble, little time of trouble, we were filled with the Holy Ghost as we went forth and proclaimed the Sabbath more fully. Now, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit to go forward at the time of trouble to proclaim the Sabbath more fully, that means salvation's doors are still opened, right? That means probation has not yet closed, or else there would be no purpose to go forth and proclaim any message. So this is an indication that there are two aspects to the time of trouble. The little time of trouble in which the message is still going forth, but now in its climactic form, and then there's the great time of trouble in which probation closes. That begins the great time of trouble. It says the Sabbath would be proclaimed more fully. This was given me, this view was given me in 1847. When there were but very few of the Advent brethren observing the Sabbath. So she was seeing the future. She was seeing the very end, what's going to happen. And of these, but few supposed that its observance, that's the observance of the Sabbath, was of sufficient importance to draw a line between the people of God and unbelievers. Now the fulfillment of this view is beginning to be seen. The commencement of the time of trouble here mentioned does not refer to the time when the plague shall begin to be poured out, but to a short period just before poured out, while Christ is in the sanctuary, meaning he's interceding. At that time, while the work of salvation is closing, trouble will be coming on the earth and the nations will be angry, yet held in check so as not to prevent the work of the third angel. That means the message of salvation is still going, as we just read, right? So, as this is happening now, it's powerful. We're learning this is as it concerns the little time of trouble, right? So as we move on now, we're going to move into some other statements, but I want to pray as we go into these other statements, preparing us for a better understanding of the little time of trouble and then the great time of trouble. Father in heaven, illuminate our minds, draw us closer to you, and I pray that you will establish us in the present truth, meaning settle us into the truth. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So it says here, continuing, this time will be, what will we be seeing in the world? We will be seeing the end of religious liberty. Notice this is in connection with the Sabbath and ultimately the Sunday law, right? This is the time when this will end, the end of religious liberty in the United States. The law of God through the agency of Satan is to be made void. In our land of boasted freedom, religious liberty will come to an end. The contest, so notice, this isn't happening yet. Notice when it happens, when something becomes the contest. So it says the law of God through the agency of Satan is to be made void. In our land of boasted religious liberty, in our land of boasted freedom, religious liberty will come to an end. And what will be the test over? What will be the contest? The contest will be decided over the Sabbath question, which will agitate the whole world. So the agitation, friends, contrary to what many are talking about today, the agitation has not begun. It is when it comes to the Sabbath question. Say that again? So this is in Last Day Events, page 144, paragraph 1. And it was written actually in 1875, right? So this is very interesting what we're reading here. So the contest, the final contest will be over what? The Sabbath question, which will agitate the whole world. A great test awaits the people of God. Very soon, our nation will attempt to enforce upon all the observance of the first day of the week as a sacred day. In doing this, they will not scruple to compel men against the voice of their own conscience to observe the day the nation declares to be the Sabbath. The Review and Herald Extra, December 11th, 1888. Friends, this was happening. This was beginning to happen even in their time. I'm going over this history and these statements because what we're going to then start seeing as we go into our new study is something very crucial. Now, who do you think will be at the head of this? Because there are many people saying, okay, well, at this time, you know, when their final test comes, it's just going to be scatterbrained. People are just going to be standing for the Sabbath in pockets here and there, and there's going to be no organized movement anymore, and all of that is just going to be washed down the drain. The Spirit of Prophecy doesn't say that. Manuscript 78, 1897 says this, Seventh-day Adventists will fight the battle over the seven-day Sabbath. The authorities in the United States and in other countries will rise up in their pride and power to make laws to restrict religious liberty. So God, just as Satan will have an organized movement, not just in the papacy, as organized as that church is, he won't just have the papacy, but a confederation of the United States giving power back over to the papal system, the kings of the earth, civil leaders, coming to order and unity with the papacy and the rich men of the world joining that union. Friends, there's going to be serious order in the devil's camp, organized chaos. And many, for some reason, think that when it comes to God's people, then it's just going to be scatterbrained. No, friends. God is going to have an organized movement, Seventh-day Adventist, at that time, refined, renewed, revived, cleansed, purified. Seventh-day Adventist will fight the battle over the seven-day Sabbath. This is what is coming. Just as Satan has an organization, will have organized confederacy, God will have it as well. And friends, the reason that Satan knows that this works, this order works, it can't be scatterbrained at the end, the reason that he knows that is because God is not scatterbrained. God is not disorganized. At the end, he will have an organized Seventh-day Adventist church purified by the shaking and the sifting to stand against this agenda. The authorities in the United States and in other countries, so you see it follows, these other countries will follow, and it says in other countries will rise up in their pride and power to make laws to restrict religious liberty. The Protestants of the United States, look at this, come on, this is what we were talking about earlier, that the stage is set from Protestant America. Now notice, this is not, it's not talking, although the civil leaders, yes, at some point they will join in. Friends, the ones who push this agenda, and this is where this is my fear, because many are not looking here. They're looking over in Rome. They're looking at Biden. They're looking at all these officials. But this is not where the Spirit of Prophecy says to look. After the people of God have been perfected, right? Where's the next place that we should look? Here's what it says, The Great Controversy, page 588. The Protestants of the United States. Here's how this thing starts off. The Protestants of the United States will be foremost in stretching their hands across the gulf to grasp the hands of spiritualism. And then those two now, they will then reach over the abyss to clasp the hands of the Roman power. And you remember we read that over the past few weeks. In Revelation chapter 18, what did we read? We read that Babylon, not just the papacy, but all of the apostate Protestant churches, they will be filled completely with demonic influence and control. Spiritualism. Now, as this confederacy takes place between Protestantism and spiritualism, they will then reach across to the Roman power. So it's not, the focus shouldn't necessarily be on a civil official connecting with the Pope. The focus should be, what is Protestant America doing? And for some reason, friends, I'm noticing that many are siding with Protestant America. Many are siding with this idea of Christian nationalism. I've seen it in many churches. And as a result, this is why we are told that when the end of the end comes, if possible, even the elect will be deceived. If possible, even the elect will be deceived. Why? Here's why. Because even though the game played has been laid out in the spirit of prophecy, many, because of their political allegiance, will miss it. The simplicity of what is about to happen is denoted, it's delineated in the spirit of prophecy. Yet people don't want to recognize it. It's either, and I say this to my own fault, I am fallible as well. And if I don't hold on to Jesus, I will not be ready. My prayer is that I hold on to him, that I might be ready, and that as things may need correction, that I will allow myself to be corrected, that I will not be deceived. But I'm realizing the issue is not necessarily that the things haven't been written down, that the truth concerning what's coming hasn't been given in its simplicity. The problem is that either many are not reading, or they're reading and they're dismissing it, or they're completely reading into it what they want. Plain counsel. Friends, it is the Protestants, it's Christianity in its zeal that we should be looking at. Christianity, apostate Protestants in their zeal without knowledge that we should be aware of. They will be the ones who initiate this agenda with the papacy. They are the ones. It continues by saying, they will clasp, they will reach over the abyss to clasp hands of the Roman power. This is when we should be looking over at Rome. It's when the Protestants of America say, hey, let's connect. Let's connect in our agenda. We want Sunday to be uplifted again. We know the papacy works that way as well. Hey, let's connect. Let's collaborate. When that starts happening, friends, that's when you need to be alarmed. It says, and under the influence of this threefold union, check out what will happen. This country will follow the steps of Rome in trampling on the rights of conscience. That's the religious liberty issue that we need to be looking at. When this happens, that's when it's really going to go down. The showdown is really going to happen. It continues by saying, all who will not bow to the decree of the national councils and obey the national laws to exalt the Sabbath instituted by the man of sin, to the disregard of God's holy day, will feel, check this out, not the oppressive power of popery alone, but here's the emphasis again, but of the Protestant world, the image of the beast. That confederation, the Protestants seeking to control the civil power of the people, the Christians of America, beginning to call for the state to do as they please, along with confederating with the papacy, that's when, friends, the showdown is going to happen, and it's called the image of the beast, church and state uniting. Those religious bodies who refuse to hear God's messages of warning will be under strong deception and will unite with what? The civil power. So notice, to persecute the saints. So notice what happens here. Those religious bodies, that's talking about the churches in America, who refuse to hear God's messages of warning, that means the loud cry apparently is going forward at this time, will be under strong deception and will unite with the civil power, that is the state, to do what? To persecute those who are trying to warn them, the saints. The Protestant churches will unite with the papal power in persecuting the commandment-keeping people of God. And who will be the foremost? Who will be the foremost in that persecution? You remember we read above, Seventh-day Adventists will be at the head fighting this battle. So it's going to come right to our doorsteps, this persecution. The Lamb-like power unites with the dragon in making war upon those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's manuscript releases, page 14, or I should say article 14, manuscript releases 14, page 162. That was written in 1899. The church appeals to the strong arm of civil power, and in this work, papists and Protestants unite, the Great Controversy, page 607, 1911. So this is some serious stuff here. We're seeing the consistent statement that we need to look out after the God's people and God doing a work of revival among them, setting it as the catalyst, as the impetus. The next thing, the next place where we are looking is not over in Rome, friends. There's a lot of people looking at Rome right now. Friends, the next place where our eyes need to be after ourselves and coming out, and I say this for myself as well, coming out of the lukewarm condition, the next place that we need to look is to apostate Protestant America. This nation, and not necessarily the civil power yet, we must look to the Christianity in this nation. Because it is as the church appeals to the strong arm of the civil power. Notice, the civil power doesn't do anything yet until the church appeals to it. So it's the people of the nation, the Christians of the nation. The spirit of prophecy is so specific that it blows my mind when I even go off at times. It's not that the council is not there. Protestant America is the place where we need to look. She says, the church appeals to the strong arm of civil power, and in this work, papists and Protestants unite. So notice, it's just like it was in Jesus' day. This is a parallel to the crucifixion. In what way? In that, you remember, I was speaking to some people one Sabbath, and as I was speaking to them, I was realizing, I was like, whoa, like, people are really zealous, man, but they had a zeal without knowledge. And one of the things that I was looking at is I was realizing, whoa, these people are willing to get in trouble with the government over very simple things, simple requirements. And as I was looking at that, and later on in the day, I went for a walk. And as I was taking my walk that Sabbath, as I was taking the walk, I was thinking about that situation, and I was like, Lord, this is interesting. When it came to Jesus' life, and we look at it, notice that while Jesus had major problems with the apostate religious movement of his day, the Jewish people, God's people, those who were supposed to be God's people at that time, while he had major issues with apostate religion, that's a parallel to apostate Protestantism, by the way, while he had major issues with them, while they had major issues with him, I should say, do you notice who Jesus never had issues with? Jesus never had issues with the civil power of Rome. Not once in his ministry did he have any problems with the government. Friends, that's heavy. Because there are many Christians today, pride in having issues with the government, not working tactfully, not working wisely, as Ellen White calls it, bringing upon themselves a time of trouble prematurely because of their zeal without knowledge. But friends, notice Jesus never had an issue with Rome until apostate religion brought him to the civil power. That's the only time. You read through all of the Gospels, Jesus never had a problem with Rome. When it came to taxes, he paid it. We have a story about that in Scripture. When it came to asserting his kingly authority, potentially bringing a threat against his old ministry, he didn't do it. Now, did he stand for issues of justice? Did he do that which was just? Yes. But friends, even in that work of healing and remedying people's situations and speaking truth to the people, friends, Rome never had an issue with Christ until it was forced to by those who were part of apostate religion at that time. It was not until the priest, until Judas betrayed Jesus into the hands of the priest, and the priest brought him to the state or to the civil power of Rome, Pontius Pilate, that there was ever a problem between Christ and Rome. And even then, the civil power recognized in Jesus someone who was innocent. Pilate recognized that Jesus was innocent. He had to force himself in order to go through with the act of getting Jesus crucified.
that serious, because this is about to happen again. Protestantism in the United States, it is Christianity that will become nationalistic in nature. And when that happens and it calls upon the state to do its bidding, it is then that Jesus, in the person of his people, will be brought before the state again. And you know what will happen? Many men like Pilate, they will recognize our innocence. Inspiration tells us the state's men will be divided into two groups. One who chooses to side with the oppressor, and another group of statesmen who will take their stand with God's commandment-keeping people. Just like Pilate, they will recognize that, whoa, these people are innocent, but there will be one of two decisions made, either to join the wrong side or to join the right side. Speaking of that, the statement continues. Those who live during the last days of this earth's history will know what it means. They will know what it means to be persecuted for the truth's sake. And here it is, being brought before the civil power, this is what it says, in the courts. Even in her day, she recognized that in the courts, injustice will prevail. The judges will refuse to listen to the reasons of those who are loyal to the commandments of God, because they know the arguments in favor of the fourth commandment are unanswerable. They will say, we have a law. This is quoting the Jewish leaders, by the way. The people who are apostate at the end will quote this. They will say, we have a law, and by our law, he ought to die. God's law is nothing to them. Our law with them is supreme. Those who respect this human law, that is the Sunday law, will be favored. But those who will not bow to the idol Sabbath have no favor shown them. The Signs of the Times, May 26, 1898. In cases where we are brought before the courts, we are to give up our rights, unless it brings us in collision with God. It is not our rights we are pleading for, but God's right to our service. Notice she says this concerning the Sabbath specifically, concerning this religious liberty issue. We are to stand the idol Sabbath. When it comes to our rights at that moment contextually, we are to say, okay, you know what, it's not about me. I'm standing for God's truth. I'm going to stand for God's commandments because I'm realizing, not because it's just about me. Many times many people stand on certain issues just because it's about them. But friends, to stand is to protect at this point, when this point comes that we're reading about. To stand means you're standing not for yourself. You're standing for other people, protecting their rights as well. The same masterful mind that plotted against the faithful in ages past is still seeking to rid the earth of those who fear God and obey his law. Wealth, genius, education will combine to cover them with contempt. Persecuting rulers, ministers, and church members will conspire against them. With voice and pen, by boast, threats, and ridicule, they will seek to overthrow their faith. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, page 450. There will come a time when, because of our advocacy of Bible truth, we shall be treated as traitors. Testimonies to the Church, Volume 6, page 394. Those who honor the Bible Sabbath will be denounced as enemies of law and order, as breaking down the moral restraints of society, causing anarchy and corruption, and calling down the judgments of God upon the earth. Their conscientious scruples will be pronounced obstinacy, stubbornness, and contempt of authority. They will be accused of disaffection toward the government. Notice when that happens, as we just read. It happens when apostate religion brings us before the state. Not before, but when apostate religion, just like it did for Jesus, when it does the same to us, this is when we will be considered and accused of disaffection toward the government. That's the Great Controversy, page 592. This is some deep stuff. Last statement. All who in that evil day will fearlessly serve God according to the dictates of conscience will need courage, firmness, and a knowledge of God and his word. For those who are true to God will be persecuted. Their motives will be impugned, their best efforts misinterpreted, and their names cast out as evil. The Acts of the Apostles,
page 431 and 432. So friends, this, we'll read some more statements next week, then we'll go into Revelation chapter 6, all right? But those are some statements I wanted us to read, because the spirit of prophecy, faithful to its purpose, amplifying the scriptures, it reveals to us where we should be looking. After having our own lives right with God, the next place, we are told, is Protestantism in this country. It's not anywhere else. Protestantism in this country will be the next move that will bring about this connection between popery, spiritualism, the kings of the earth, and the rich men of the world. It starts off here within this nation. As blessed as it is, as much as it boasts of religious freedom, friends, it's going to go down here first. This is where we should be looking. And so I pray that this makes sense to us as we close. And with that, let us close with the word of prayer. Father in heaven, we read a lot. Usually, you know, Lord, I seek to bring out things from the word of God. But Lord, tonight, as we have gone through all of these things, I just thought to read some of the statements of the spirit of prophecy, making this clear, so that we can see it as well, that we can see it amplified in your word and in the writings of your servant. I pray, O Lord, that these things made sense to us, that the simplicity of it shows us where we should be looking. Help us, Lord, to know the prophetic waymarks and not to become distracted as the world is becoming distracted. They're looking everywhere. We are looking everywhere, but where the spirit of prophecy points us to. So, Father, I pray that we will remain faithful. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen, Brother King. We want to thank you for bringing us this message and knowing that what we're going to have to go through as brothers and sisters, we got to hold up the bloodstained banner, brothers and sisters, because that day will come. So I want to thank Brother Akeem for always bringing a powerful message to us, because as the Protestant churches prepare, we as God people, we are to be ready. And talk about getting ready, we better be ready. So I just want to thank God for the message. I want to thank God as we preparing for this and just standing firm in his word and to stand firm that day by God's grace. So thank you, brothers and sisters, for coming on and sharing and testifying and singing. And I just thank God for everyone and keep everyone in prayer, because the Bible says that we are to bear one another's burdens, and the burdens that we bear today, you lift me up, I lift you up, and pray for my children, I pray for your children. We got to do this until Christ comes. So thank you once again. Thank you, Brother Akeem. God bless you and your family, and may he continue to keep you and watch over all of us while we sleep tonight. Amen. God bless everyone, and you all have a good night rest. Amen.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway.
rather have Jesus than anything that this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than that this world affords today, than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread. I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this world affords today.